If you're not doing it on a daily basis, you're doing yourself a disservice. In the book, you'll find there's the 10-minute self-evaluation at the end of the day. And it has things in it like, what did I do today that I know I didn't do well? If I could change what I did today, what's one thing that I could change? And how would I do it differently? And that might be a conversation with a coworker. It might be a decision you made. It might be something you had to execute on and you didn't do it well. So that type of reflection helps you not repeat the same mistakes over and over, right? And then you also have to reflect on, hey, what did I do well? Let's give ourselves a little pat on the back, you know, if we did something good. Let's look at where our performance shined and say, hey, how do we get to that next level now? Because I'm good at that.
In her book, Conversational Intelligence, Judith Glasser wrote, "To get to the next level of greatness depends on the quality of our culture, which depends on the quality of our relationships, which depends on the quality of our conversations. Everything happens through conversations." Welcome to Conversations, powered by Quantivos. Welcome to this episode of Conversations. I'm Brian Gorman, your host and a Quantivos coach. And our guest today is Aaron Salco. Aaron is the author of The Ninth Stratum, Your Guide to High Performance. Welcome, Aaron.
Brian, thanks for having me.
If you think a guide to high performance is a lot of stuff, it really is. Aaron focuses the book on three critical elements of high performance, which include 45 performance-based skills, 9 identifiable traits of high performers, and 9 stratums of performance. I was telling Aaron before we started recording, this book reminds me of a much richer version of a parallel in the Boy Scout handbook of many years ago. I don't know if it still is this today, but it really is a guide from your earliest entry into profession, and I would even say high performance in life, Aaron. Right on through to being on that mastery path. One of the things that really struck me before we get into the conversation is the way that you structured this book. So it is that growth path, if you will, and because of the skills that you focus on, the traits that you focus on, it addresses both skills, if you will, and these aren't necessarily your skills, but empowerment or creating a safe work environment and so forth. But it also addresses those skills that generate maturity and continuing maturing of leaders.
Yes.
But in each of the stratums, you talk about what are some key points to focus on. You bring in the psychological and the physiological science behind what you're talking about. So for those who are sort of the intellect, if you will, you give a firm grounding, but then you move into tactical applications. So this is not just a theory book or a science book, if you will. This is a very practical guide as well. And you wrap up each section with a guide for self-reflection. And we're going to get into self-reflection in a little bit in this conversation because self-reflection is so important for us all.
Yes.
But Aaron, I'm talking enough.
I love what you're doing. I absolutely love what you're doing.
What brought you to developing the content and then to actually putting it down on paper, the ninth stratum?
Yeah, I guess to really boil it down, the word high performance was always a very elusive, if you will, and very subjective in its term. And my father was a psychologist, right? I studied sports medicine and physical therapy in college. I came out and I went into sales. So, you know, I had this background that really didn't project well for the sales and entrepreneurship career that I chose that I've been doing for 22 years. And so when you look at that, at how I had to become really good at sales, I had to teach myself a lot of these things. I could probably tell you I have maybe 2 courses in college, and they're psychology that related to the job I took. And you know, so, you know, you dive into books, right? You begin reading and you learn, and then you begin applying. And so that's what I did. And I became really good at the sales job. And then I wanted the path to management. I always liked helping people. I always liked teaching people. And so I was able to attain that. At that point, it was in my early 30s. Somebody had said to me, you know, you're a high performer. And I said, thank you. But what does that mean? And who are you to say that I'm a high performer? You know, is it subjective? Are you telling me something that maybe you shouldn't be telling me? Maybe I haven't reached the pinnacle of my performance. And now I'm thinking that, oh, this is all it takes. And so at that point in time, and I had to develop individuals in my career, right? At that point in time, I said, I'm going to define high performance. It was like one of these things. And, you know, a decade and a half later, you know, studying different aspects of human performance, using my psychology and physiology knowledge to my advantage, I began to implement steps and practices that use the mind and body to optimize my own performance. And then I would teach it to others. And we begin to work. And we're like, okay, let's write that down. And then, you know, fast forward to COVID hit, and my business partner, Kelly Johnson, said, hey, yeah, you're not doing well in COVID, stuck home, it's time to write the book. And that's how the Ninth Stratum came to be.
Great, great story. Again, because there's so much content here, we're not going to even skim the surface if we try to name everything that you're talking about. So I'd like to just name what you identified as the identifiable traits of high performance, and then dive into a few of them that are not typically a part of the leadership conversation. So let me first name the traits: goal-driven, knowledge-driven, network-driven, experience-focused, personal growth-driven, disciplined in self-evaluation, motivated by failure, altruism-motivated, and health-focused. The first that I'd like to dive into, Aaron, is personal growth-driven. You identify some of that larger set of skills that are particularly associated with this trait: self-regulation, creative thinking, coachability, self-discipline, and listening.
Yes.
What is it about personal growth-driven that leads to high performance?
Yeah. You know, many of us, we get so buried in our careers and life that we forget about the most important thing that got us here. And it was that attainment of knowledge and an application of knowledge. And that's really what the nine stratums of performance are all about. These traits that you're talking about are so identifiable to high performers. And some high performers, you would see them having, you know, three or four of these traits. Others have one. Others have all nine. But in this specific one, personal growth driven, the study of high performers, and this spans not just elite athletes, business moguls that we see like Mark Cuban or Elon Musk, but it spans the low performers too. And what we see is that the high performers, they're insatiable when it comes to attaining knowledge to improve their personal growth. You know, and whether it's knowledge about their career, knowledge about things in general in life, you know, they want to have this holistic approach to life. And what they do is it's a daily discipline for them. You know, every day they're doing something to improve themselves, and they set aside time for personal growth. And so they're getting it done. It's almost habit at this point. And what we see is now they become this very well-rounded individual. They're achieving things in life that most don't. And they know a lot about certain things that help them hit these achievement milestones. So that's why it's so important.
And they know how to learn. I mean, part of that personal growth is, as you said, around another trait, which is knowledge-driven.
Yes.
Part of that personal growth comes from the networks that you build, because I know for me, there are areas, I'll just give one example, was coaching a client fairly high up in a global corporation who found himself in a new job and discovered that his new job required a set of skills that he hadn't interviewed for, nor had he ever been prepared for, and a set of skills that sound good to me, but I have no experience.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is because of that network that I had, I was able to reach out to another Quantibos coach who had spent a career, big part of his career, in that particular, the application of that particular set of skills. Coachability, you include as one of the skills in personal growth driven, obviously as a professional development organization with coaching at our core, coachability is important to us. Say a little bit more, if you would, Aaron, about why coachability is so important.
Yeah, the being coachable means that you have never arrived. Let's put it that way. You know, although you may master a trade or although you may master a skill, you're always open to new ideas. You're open to critiques that are going to make you better. And you know this. You know that it's not just about like, oh, I'm getting criticized. It's, hey, I'm getting feedback here that is for my own good. And if I listen to it and I follow the instruction to it, I'm not just going to be good at this skill. I'm going to attain greatness at the skill. And so I've always been coachable because of the fact that I've gained so much when I don't know something and I go to somebody who does and I say, hey, tell me your process. Teach me how you do it and show me. And what I've learned is when they do that, they show me their process or they teach me how to do something, I'm able to replicate it, practice it, and then be operated at a higher level within it.
I want to move on to another of your identifiable traits, disciplined and self-evaluation. And here you identify as associated skills, emotional self-awareness, work ethic, personal ownership, relatability, and personal appearance. There are a few of these I want to dive into, and I want to start with personal appearance. And you actually, in the 9 stratum, talk about how important it is, even for those who feel that they have gained a level of relatively high performance, to go back to the basics. And in fact, personal appearance appears as one of those basic skills. Personal appearance became important to you, if not before, then when you got a particular job that you talk about in the book.
Yeah. Yes, I did some sports modeling to pay for college. So that was something. But when I decided to put personal appearance in the book, I look back at the history of it. And, you know, it's not a vanity thing. What it is it's two things. Your ability to prepare yourself for the day in knowing who you're going to engage and who you need to show up for. So personal appearance isn't just about a physical aspect. It's more about your whole being showing up and how you're appearing to the world. You're stepping out onto the stage, the world stage, every day. And a lot of us don't pay attention to how we're leaving the house or how we're appearing on our video calls. And what we don't realize is how we affect the people that we're engaging, and most importantly, how those people that we're engaging judge us. Perceptual judgment is a thing. People make judgments about us within like 3 milliseconds. Your subconscious is always judging things around you in your environment. And so when you're showing up well, and you're showing up strong, and you're showing up, you know, in the 9th stratum, let's say, people notice that and they make the judgments. And I guess they're more likely to engage. You know, you're seen as less of a, sometimes a threat, right? But it is important. It really is. And in my early career, I learned the importance of personal appearance when I wore suits. And I did it not because, you know, I was in sales. I did it because I was stepping into a career where I knew nothing about global manufacturing of packaging and design and fulfillment. And I was meeting with sometimes C-level executive and trying to sell them. And what I really learned at a young age is that just wearing that suit gave me the little bit of credibility and internal confidence, credibility with the new client, internal confidence with myself to have those conversations and present myself to these people to say, this is a professional I'm dealing with. And he may not know the answers at age 26. He's going to go find it out. That's where I really honed in on this specific skill.
Listening to that story brought to mind a story from my freshman year at Syracuse University. They were building a new dormitory. And I thought I was interested in moving into it, but I wanted to go into it and see. And so I put on a pair of khakis, an Oxford button down collar blue shirt, grabbed a clipboard, and walked into the dormitory.
People judged you as somebody who was supposed to be there.
Exactly. I looked like I was some sort of an inspector or project manager or whatever. And it gave me the credibility I needed to say, yeah, this is where I'm going to live.
We've always heard the term look the part, right? Yeah, it's very simple. And if you think about it too, you know, what we wear, there's a phenomenon. It's called enclothed cognition. And it's the way our clothes make us feel. If you've ever put on an outfit that maybe is drab or you just didn't fit right, your level of confidence dropped. So did some hormones in your body, right? And so there's a physiological effect and a psychological effect. And it's, if you've ever played a sport, you know, it's like, you know, you're putting on the pads before a game. You're putting on the uniform. You feel different. And the click that happens in your mindset goes from whatever was going on in your life to I am going into a field of play and my focus is now here. And you raise that level of focus and raise the level of awareness, attention that you're going to have to what's next. Same thing with putting on your clothes for work. If you don't feel radiant, if you don't feel powerful, you're going to portray however you're feeling.
And Aaron, I would take that one step further. If you are doing that consciously with intention, the impact is even greater than if you're just letting your mind wander 1,000 miles away as you're doing so.
Yes, dressing with intent and getting ready with intent. And you know, you hit a great point, Brian. The whole idea behind a ninth stratum is raising your level of awareness, not just self-awareness, but awareness about how you can use specific things in your environment, body, and your mind on how to improve yourself. And once you have that awareness, you are hyper-focused on, okay, I'm going to do this because I know it's going to translate to X. And that's a big part of the book.
And that awareness really brings me to one of the points that I just briefly mentioned earlier, which is overall the importance of spending time in reflection. What role do you see reflection playing in achieving high performance?
It's one of the pinnacles. If you're not doing it on a daily basis, you're doing yourself a disservice. In the book, you'll find there's the 10-minute self-evaluation at the end of the day. And it has things in it like, what did I do today that I know I didn't do well? If I could change what I did today, what's one thing that I could change? And how would I do it differently? And that might be a conversation with a coworker. It might be a decision you made. It might be something you had to execute on and you didn't do it well. So that type of reflection helps you not repeat the same mistakes over and over, right? And then you also have to reflect on, hey, what did I do well? Let's give ourselves a little pat on the back, you know, if we did something good. Let's look at where our performance shined and say, hey, how do we get to that next level now? Because I'm good at that. I think the self-reflection really helps you hone your skills. And again, bringing you that awareness of like, okay, tomorrow I got to do that thing again. And I'm going to do it differently. And I need to work on this skill. So it is so important.
That reflection is certainly part of self-awareness, which is, again, one of those skills under discipline and self-evaluation. Personal ownership is something I end up coaching a lot about. And very often I'm working with someone who's supervising others and they're inside this mega organization. And they don't really think about personal ownership of those who are on their team.
Yeah.
And yet if I can see where the work that I'm doing contributes to the greater purpose of this organization, you know, it's not just that I am fixing this plane engine, but I am helping people live their lifetime dream of traveling to a certain place or achieving connection with a family member in the last years of their life or whatever. Now I own doing something that's really important. Altruism motivated. What is important about altruism in terms of high performance?
I know that, you know, depending on where you came from and your background, a lot of us in our 20s are very monetary focused, and rightfully so. We want to get financially stable, right? We've gone through college, we've done the work, or, you know, we've gotten a trade and, you know, we want to be financially stable. So it's okay to be monetarily focused, but there comes a time after that period where you need to begin to focus your attention on others. And when you do that, and only until you do that, do you learn the significance and importance that the reciprocity it brings. You know, when you go out of your way to help somebody improve their life, you may not hear from them for a year. At some point, something's going to come back around to them. And they're going to say, you know what? there was a time you did this for me. And by the way, I have a network connection and I want to connect you, or I want to give you this, or I want to help you do this. And, you know, it's like planting seeds. You know, you're helping the masses, because at some point the masses are going to come back to you and help you. And nobody really realizes that until they actually have that altruistic mindset to just do things, not to expect a reward, but to do things because you want to help improve the lives of others. And when we see high performers that are out there doing exactly that, you know, it's like the rising tide raises all ships, right? It just comes back to them. It's not magic. It's not fairy dust. It is real humans realizing that, hey, I owe that guy or I owe that girl, and I really appreciate this. And I'm going to show my appreciation. And that's part of high performance. Sharing your gifts too, right?
And it also, I think, ties in with the whole pay it forward concept.
Oh, yeah.
Because I may not get back from you the altruism I showed it to you, but as you pass it on, again, as you said, it lifts all ships and comes back to me in other ways.
And I've seen, you know, we talk about high performance and we have individuals who, yeah, they made a lot of money and they're successful in that part of their career, but yet they haven't done anything for everybody else. And then they wonder when they fall, why there's not a bunch of people there to pick them up. That's why.
I recently recorded a podcast with a gentleman named Grant Muller, and I think he's a perfect example of what you're talking about. Before he was 30, it was his goal in life to make $1 million, and he was there before he was 30. And he literally talks about how he was sitting in his apartment overlooking the lights of Denver, and he was working for a tech startup that went public and all of that. And basically he said, is that all there is? There's no fulfillment here. And in his case, and we talk about it in the podcast, he talks about it in his book, it ultimately led to him being a homeless meth addict and then turning his life around and finding what that fulfillment really is and what that broader, really altruistic mindset can bring.
And sometimes that's what it takes. You know, you chase paper, you chase stuff, and you realize that the paper and the stuff, it's not life.
So that brings me to one last identifiable trait before we wrap this up. And there are others we haven't talked about, but goal-driven. Goal-driven can be all of that meaningless stuff. And I'll go to another podcast that I did with a woman from Australia named Ellie Gould, where she talks about Michael Phelps standing on the stand, receiving his medals and going into depression because he achieved his goal. How do you relate goal and the larger aspiration of which that goal is a part?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the reality of life is we have to have goals. You know, goals help us persevere. Goals help us, you know, goals motivate us. And so without goals, we are just wandering around aimlessly, not doing too much. So where we looked at high performers and we looked at low performers, you know, the high performers with intention set specific goals, and they knew how to achieve them. And they knew that there were micro goals along the way that they had to begin to achieve that would actually add to their repertoire of skills and accomplishments. But without the goals, you know, while setting those goals, again, they were wandering. You know, there was no end direction. Also, one big thing, when it comes to, you know, having that high performance mindset, that achievement mindset, the goals itself, you know, sometimes they set these goals that are so far out in the future, you know, like a Michael Phelps wanting to be an Olympian at age, whatever, 13. That was a real goal, you know, and look at all the accomplishments that he had to go through in order to get there. You know, so generally, the one thing that you have to watch out for with the high performers too is once they hit their goals, they're like, okay, what's next? Got that. I always say, you know, the trophies on the shelves have no current value, but the spaces where there are no trophies are priceless to high performers. And there's a watch out in that where you have to take time, acknowledge what you've achieved, the goal that you've hit, reflect, you know, spend time with the team. You know, if there are other people involved, allow them to understand the reality of the goal. And then you move on.
I often use the analogy of climbing Mount Everest. And your goals are really those plateaus where I've achieved this, now I can determine where's the next path forward. I can prepare to climb that path. And the real danger is that you get so comfortable on that plateau that you stop moving.
Yeah. You know, Brian, you know, the goals that you achieve, you learn so much from it. And I think the reason why we saw these high performers always setting goals, every day they had a goal, whether it was a daily goal, a weekly goal, a monthly goal, a yearly goal, a goal 5-10 years down the road. They had goals every day. I think what we saw is that they understand the compounding of the knowledge you gain, the experience you gain, the information you gain every time you hit a goal. And that compounding leads to the higher goal achievements.
We are going to have to wrap this up, Aaron. So before we do, any last thoughts to share with our listeners?
Hey, listen, the book is out there. I wrote it with the intention that I wanted to share with the world all that I've experienced and, really put something out there that somebody could take and not just, it's not me telling you, hey, go do this because I did it. It's broken down, like you said at the beginning. It's step by step. It's easy tactical applications. So if you're looking to get to that next level or you're just looking to check yourself, or maybe you're stepping into a career and you're a little bit like, okay, how do I really promote myself and get champion? Try it out.
I guess the last thing I would like to say is if you are stepping into that new career, it also gives you a way, or looking to step into that new career, it also gives you a powerful tool for looking at who you are and what you're bringing that really is transferable.
Absolutely.
Because so often I hear, but I never worked in that industry or I never worked in that type of a job.
Well said.
Aaron Salco, author, The Ninth Stratum, Your Guide to High Performance. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, Brian.